We were going to just wait till the baby said something, and then I'd be called that. But it could take a while before the baby says something. Is it okay with lighting if I stay down here? Okay. Thanks, I know. I think I'll stay off the stage since I'm a new grandparent. You never know. Last time, before I was a grandparent, I almost killed myself and fell off. But so now I'm either even older, so got to start watching myself as a grandpa. Oh, it's very, very exciting, though. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Did everyone have a good Christmas? I hope so. I did, too. Now it's recovery and get back to life. Let's do this. Let me turn to page one instead of four. Okay. There's so much happening. Josiah gave an amazing introduction to Hudson. Did he introduce you, Hudson? Well, I just did. Welcome, man. Hudson's from, he's an American, but he's from Canada. And so give him a warm welcome. He pastors a church up there. And if you know Wesley, Hudson is Wesley's brother. Now you'll like him even more, I hope. Josiah gave a great introduction in the beginning. You know, he really laid out the caution to trust in your flesh. But that is only one part of the tension, because you can't just say, well, I'm not going to do anything then because I don't want to trust in my flesh. That would be like me saying, I'm not going to go to the gym, but I'm going to get big muscles. I mean, it just doesn't work. And all the ads out there on the internet will tell you it does if you buy this magic pill or if you do this one thing. And they'll take all your money and then you'll be very sad because you're like, I was ripped off, I paid money, and it didn't do what it said because I don't have muscles. Well, this is very much like all the quick fix claims of Christianity that say you can have an amazing, established, solid faith without doing anything. Now, what Josiah was addressing is your heart attitude. He was saying, are you trusting in your own efforts to achieve something or to win God's favor? This age-old struggle with humans trying to earn favor from God, trying to do the right things to be a Christian, when it all starts in the heart. Hearts, hearts, hearts. Come on. Lots of them. My wife got this little thing from the kids. Well, I forget who gave it to her, but it's this little circle necklace thing with a bunch of hearts just filling the circle. I'm like, yes. Oh, that's it. That's what I like to see right there. Wow, who did that? Who devised that? Sarah? Oh, Aaron? Aaron, for such a guy like yourself, you're so heart-filled. Wow. I like that. Everyone at home, take note. If you could give me a flow like that. Hearts, 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 hearts. It takes everyone working together. Well, there's a lot of... So when we're talking about this, back on the trolley, we can never trust in ourselves. Okay, anything done without faith is sin. So that means everything we're doing, we're trusting in God and moving toward growing. But we certainly do our part, right? That's what stewardship is. That's what planning and preparing your heart is. And I'll tell you what, if you have a competition coming up or you have some time that you have in the future where you have to be prepared for something, you cannot do it at the last minute. Now, some things you can. You might be able to write a paper overnight because you procrastinated and it's due the next day, so you just cram all night long, don't get any sleep, and get it done. But the more precious things in life take time, like weightlifting or like getting a great physique. It takes the proper diet and workout, and you can't get it done overnight. You can't stay up all night and say, that's it, I'm going to eat right all night and work my tail off. And in the morning... Josiah, No. Doesn't work that way. Okay? Same thing with your faith. You can't like say, okay, I'm going to lose sleep all night and I'm going to like read my word and pray all night. And in the morning, Apostle Paul. Dun, dun. No, it takes time, discipline, effort. Not as one trusting in yourself, but discipline, effort, planning, preparation. Trusting in the Lord all the way that he is doing this glorious work and you are posturing yourself. And so I like what Josiah's word said, because when he said it, I'm like, yes, we're, because this message is about prepare yourself. And what he was saying is he's talking about not trusting in your own flesh and preparing yourself for freedom. You can't stay up all night to get to walk in freedom. You can't stay up all night to be a spiritual giant. You can't stay up all night and prepare yourself for trying times and storms of life. Many prophetic voices are speaking of this season. Now listen, I am not one who typically gets online like Josiah and looks at what all the prophets are saying. I just like listen to Josiah. No. But last night I just spent a few hours. I just went on and I said, I want just a gulp of what leadership of the body, all different streams are saying God is going to do. And, you know, it's just before a new year, a new season starting, and spiritually we've been sensing this, right? We all see that God is doing something in the midst of everything going on around us. And some of the real clear words were this: identity, testing, conflict, even war, preceding one of the greatest harvests the earth has seen. Now, we've been saying this a long time. Now, that's what I'm saying. I don't listen to this stuff. I don't go on and do this often. This was first time in a long time. But we've been preaching all of these things because we're a community led by the Spirit. We've been speaking into these things. And just think about it. In order for wickedness to give up souls, their occupation, do you think it's going to be easy? They'll just, give it up. Right now, darkness occupies the earth. It's covered the earth. And for the Lord to arise and shine and use his body to push back darkness and grasp hold of and influence souls and bring them into the light and rescue people, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a war. And this is what is taking place right now, because we are going to see one of the greatest harvests we've ever seen. The earth has seen historically one of the greatest interventions of God. The church is arising is another theme here. You know, one phrase, I think it was Stone shared this, unprecedented will become unpredictable, because we've lived in unprecedented times, right? They have never really happened like this before, although it's not really, because we've seen many plagues cover the earth that are much, 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 much worse. But unpredictable means suddenly without reason. And God is going to move in this season in his assignment to rescue and intervene in human history on his own initiative. And so it doesn't mean that we won't be a part and we won't have a part to play and a responsibility, but it's going to mean that he's going to do things and not let anyone know and just say, just watch, just be ready on the fly. Come on, run with me. And he's going to do things. And I believe that we're going to be seeing suddenly interventions in the coming days. Suddenly interventions, suddenly. And you're going to be like, what is going on? It's unpredictable because God is doing something in our midst. He's doing something. He's intervening in human history. If he does not, I mean, we've seen this throughout history. Europe, God intervened through the Great Awakenings in America, right? And England. People like George Whitefield, right? And the mainland Europe is much more secularized because it did not reach mainland Europe. It only hit England and USA. And as a result, this secularizing, this anti-Christ agenda was stalled by some say 10 years because of the intervention of great awakenings. These were times when whole society was interrupted by God, his presence. There's narratives of people who were literally, I mean, I'm talking like God intervention, where people were like cursing God and they froze and couldn't move or speak. People who were like came up to a meeting that was going on in the church and they started freezing and like fell to the ground under the presence and the weight of God. Like supernatural divine intervention. God saying, I am God and I am intervening because humans are going in a very wrong direction. But I'm going to have mercy and grace and intervene. One of the other words was, it's going to be a risky season. Don't enter into risk management, but be prepared. Now, this is hard. There's some of you in here that love preparation. That is fine, and it's the same tension Josiah introduced and cautioned against. Preparation as a form of risk management is fine, as long as your heart isn't adverse to riskiness. Because this is going to be a risky season. There's going to be decisions you have to make to take big risks. Things that you're uncomfortable with. Things you're like, no, I don't think so. And God's going to say, no, I want you to do it. You need to do it. If you want to be saved, you've got to do it. You got to step in faith. Take the risk. But the good news is we have to prepare. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. We're going to, you know, preparing or stewarding is positioning yourself for freedom. If you are prepared, you are ready at the snap of a finger to respond and obey God, to move quickly. If you're not prepared, you can't get prepared. You lose out. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning, is that you need to prepare yourself. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to do that. You know, just like, it's much like when the electricity goes out. If you're like, oh, the electricity's out. Well, I better get prepared to like be able to live a couple days or a week. I lived once in Windham for like, I think it was almost a week and a half with no electricity. And you know what? You couldn't find a generator anywhere. You could find a few, and they were like five times what they normally were. Have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for something that used to cost like $400 or $500. When crisis happens, you lose if you're not prepared. And so that's why, you know, there's some wisdom here too of like, in this season, it's not just talking spiritual, it's talking natural too. Prepare your house. So get some extra food, get some extra water, prepare your house. Get prepared now before it's too late, and then you're like hurting. And it's not, you're not supposed to, as a Christian, just be prepared for your house. It's for your house and those around you. You are called to help people. So if you're not prepared, what are you going to do? You're going to just draw and leech off others instead of letting them be able to help other people. So that's my word of wisdom to you, is prepare your house. Prepare yourself for unexpected things to come. I want to look to Matthew 25, verse 1. This is the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but turn there with me. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. I'm reading out of NASB. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish. Five of them were prudent, or the other translation says silly. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish, or the silly, said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who... Okay, so then it goes on to the parable of talents. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. Now this is critical. This is a very compelling parable. It's basically saying that if you didn't prepare with oil, you lose out. Oh, come on, have mercy. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The door is shut. I don't know you. Don't come in. They didn't get a second chance, folks. And this is where we are called to prepare. They didn't prepare. They're silly. They're foolish, meaning they didn't do what they knew they should do to make the end goal, to make the journey, to be prepared, to respond. Now, notice here, it wasn't a problem of them getting drowsy and falling asleep. All of them did. There's nothing wrong with this. It's not talking about, oh, you should have all been awake. No, there was a sound. It woke them up, and they had a choice. Are you ready to respond? Or are you not? They were ready to respond, the ones with flasks of oil in their pockets. It speaks of many things. It speaks of the presence and the work of God, the transformation of their heart, the time spent preparing, responding appropriately, letting God work it in them. I don't believe, you know, when you prepare properly, you're on autopilot. People who prepare for war or fighting, it's not, they don't sit there and go, okay, now in camp, let's see. Okay, this guy's coming at me. Let's see, first step, you got to look at them. Second step, oh, what was that? No, you don't like rehearse your textbook. You better have it ingrained in your muscle memory. And this is what happens with responding and obeying God. You better be ready and have it ingrained in your memory to respond and be sensitive and understand the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. That you don't think and go, oh, I hear something. Oh, it must be the Lord. Oh, I'm going to follow. It's this intuitive response where your heart and your spirit are in tune with him. He calls and you begin to respond. And then you start thinking, oh, I wonder what he wants. This is interesting. And you start sorting it out in the way. And I'll tell you, based on coronavirus and the response of the church, we are in desperate need to be able to prepare ourselves for the voice of the Lord, because the church is so easily duped by the spirit of the world. It's almost disillusioning as a pastor, as a leader. It's heartbreaking. I just have gotten to a place in my life, I'm like, Lord, you are certainly the Lord of your church, not me. It looks pretty bad, though. Like, we desperately need an intervention of the living God in the church. Because the church does not know how to hear God. And you know what's even more tragic? They give all kinds of rationalistic human excuses for why they're right that defy the principles of the Word of God. And it's all human wisdom trying to rationalize human desire and intent and comforts. The church has learned how to rationalize God out of the picture. And if he never showed up, many would not even know it. They'd just be like, oh, praise him, we're Christians without Christ in our midst. I know that seems really intense, but it is the reality, folks. I hope this is a wake-up call. I hope you hear me. People are much more willing to listen to men than the scripture that is supposed to inform and motivate and dictate our lives. Give us conviction. What does this look like? What does preparation look like? Well, you know, we read throughout the next talents that follow in Matthew 25. We see the parable of talents. You know that well. You know, about a master who gave his servants different amounts of talents. And then he came back and he said, I want to see what you've done with my talents. Faithfulness, stewardship. You know, all of these things are attributes of character. Perseverance, fruit of the Spirit. This stuff is like, this is it, folks. These are the ingredients of a sacred Christian life. It makes humanism smell like dung. But we don't even know what character looks like today. So in this, we start seeing part of the preparation is faithful perseverance. Not giving up, not throwing in the towel, pressing in, continuing on, being faithful. And in verse 23, we say his master said to him, this was the people who did something with the talent that was given them. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. This is the culmination of faithfulness. You get more responsibility. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. That is a reward. Now, some of you are going, what? Not my kind of reward. No, thank you. I'd rather not be rewarded, Lord. But this is the state of our hearts. Because if we see more responsibility as stressful and not, I don't like that. No, thank you. Then what it indicates is our hearts are wrong. We are probably operating more like Josiah cautioned us not to, which is don't trust in your own flesh. So we see service and responsibility and oversight as negative when it's a reward from our Heavenly Father for being faithful. Now, if it's not a reward, because notice there, it doesn't say, I will put you in charge of many things. You are faithful over a few things. Enter into the misery of your master. It says, enter into the joy. J-O-Y. Joy, joy. J-O-Y. Joy. But see, this is the problem. If we don't see it as joy, our heart isn't aligned. And that's not bad. That's not condemnation. It says we need to reposture our hearts. Listen, I don't know about you. You're sleeping and you're delirious if you can't see things in your life that need to change. Maybe it's not just that you've slipped up and backslidden. It's that maybe you're growing and the things that the control you had in one way of life has now become a little out of control because the pressure has been turned up. And it's time to strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen those things that need to be strengthened. I mean, I have my list. I have things that I'm like, oh, now that the pressure is turned up, those things that I used to have under control are not under control. I mean, that's a good thing, folks. When we start growing, pressure turns up and the things that weren't a problem are now a problem. And that's not meant to condemn you. You didn't backslide. It means you need to be strengthened. You need to grow into that next level. This is like key wisdom right here, right? So you need to, and so I have my New Year's list. I have things, not just resolutions, but Sean, if you don't do this, it's going to be a real problem. You know, one is power of life and death in the tongue. That is one of my tops. Is just, you know, in the disillusionment and in the heartache of just seeing the body of Christ, you know, I've just been like a little harsh with my mouth. And so one of my things before God is I'm saying, Lord, bring me to a new level of power of life and death in my tongue. that when I speak something, death to something, there's power and it dies. Now, I don't mean people, folks, back home. If you're thinking I just meant that I'm going to curse people and they'll die, you're missing the point. I mean wickedness, darkness, principalities, powers, that when something comes out of my mouth, they are bound and done. And then speaking life to those around me, speaking life to situations, prayer and intercession that pierces and shifts things. Power, life, and death. This is one of my New Year's things that I'm just like, Lord, refine my tongue. Teach it to war, you know. So it's this point of faithfulness. How do you prepare? You prepare by being faithful. You prepare by persevering, by engaging the fruit of the Spirit. Basic building blocks. Oh, please listen to me. For to everyone who has, the parable goes, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. This is the result of not persevering. Not staying in the game. Not, you know, drawing on support of those around you. You know, because, you know, I've been watching Lord of the Rings, and it's my favorite thing to do on an annual basis is to kind of make it through the series because it's just so full of hope, so full of parallels of, especially lately, where darkness is all around you and it looks hopeless. But in the end, if you persevere, and you know, Frodo wasn't the great hero that just like did it all himself. I mean, man, without Sam, he'd be dead meat. He'd be done. The friends around him saved him in his weak points of his life. And you know, sometimes, you know, there's that whole series. If you haven't, you got to watch it. It's so relevant to where we are today. I remember the scene where, you know, Frodo was getting lied to on the mountain as he was climbing up the stairs of the mountain. He was getting lied to. And he started believing the lies of Gollum. And he actually told Sam to go home because he believed that he was really his enemy. When really, Sam was being harsh against that thing which was trying to stop Frodo from fulfilling his destiny. And then Sam started going home. And, you know, I believe his heart was compelled to go back and rescue his dear friend and be faithful to him. But Frodo ended up in serious trouble, you know, with the spider and the orcs. And he almost died. Really, if it weren't for Sam, he would have been a dunner. Many times he would have died. But Sam was faithful, stood by his side, kept pressing in, even when he was told nasty things. Go home, Sam! Should have never come. Does that steal your heart? Hearts, 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 Sarah? You know, Sarah is an official fan on that. If you stay around like we did one night and watch the credits, Sarah E. Daniels actually pops up on the credits. She is an official fan. Right in our midst, folks. Then there was, as we continue through this section of Matthew 25, after the parable of talents, so we have this preparation of being faithfulness. Really, you know, it's preparation by cultivating the gifts, I mean the fruits of the Spirit. Cultivate your character. Cultivate your character. Persevere. Press in. Don't give up. Faithful service. Faithful stewardship. In verse 31, we start talking about, you know, he'll come and he'll judge the sheep and the goats. This all has to do still with our preparation. Verse 34, come you who are blessed of my Father. This is what he says to those who prepared. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The righteous will answer him. Now, it's not the unrighteous. It says the righteous will answer him. You know, those who are walking and serving the Lord, those are the righteous. The righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? The king will answer and said to him, truly I say to you, the extent that you did to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did to me. So, you know, this preparation here is not only faithful in doing what's set before you, but it's doing and expressing the things that are in God's heart to those around you. It's actually doing. It's not just like, you can't just put this on your list and say, okay, well, I'm going to go and find someone that's hungry. Okay, I'm going to go and do this. It's not speaking of that. It's not telling you to-do list to be successful in Christ. It's saying you've allowed God to discipline and cultivate and transform your heart so that in every situation of life, you're giving of Christ through your life. You're allowing provision to come to people. You're allowing healing. You're allowing service. You've allowed your life to be used by God to meet needs. You've made yourself available. This is a lifestyle. It is not a task list. Do you understand that? That we don't trust. See, it's not that we're like, okay, I got to find someone hungry. Okay, I got to go. No, it's I become a vessel of Christ. It's all second nature. Just like a warrior who, you know, he just starts getting attacked. He doesn't think of what to do. It's just like, bam, 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 it's done. Defense is done. Why? Because he's been trained. It's become second nature. It's who he is because of the faithful preparation. That doesn't come from like an all-night cram session. Muscle memory, things like this, it takes a lot of time to where you do it and it's done. I'm telling you, I'm not a military guy, but once I came up behind a military guy, I wasn't thinking, clearly. And I came up and I was just joking, put him in a half Nelson really quick. And I mean, I'm telling you, within seconds, all of a sudden I was staring at his face and he was like, and I was like, I mean, it was so split second, I didn't even see it. It was like a whirlwind. And I was like, rut-row. And I was like, I'm in trouble. What did I do? Why did I do this? But it was like, because the person was conditioned to respond instantly. And before he could even think and process one brain cell, boom, it was done. Face to face. And then the mercy of God went, no. Save Sean. He's nice. This is what he wants his people to be like. Instantaneously, second nature response, because Christ occupies our hearts and minds. We've lost ourselves, not our distinct personalities, but we've lost all of our other human wisdom, rationalization, all the processing that fights and hinders us from responding instantaneously to God, moving and walking in him. I live in him. I move. I breathe. I have my being. It's all this image of living in Christ. This is what this is talking about. And that's why, folks, if you want to be in this place, you got to prepare. You got to persevere. And I'll tell you what, you don't prepare by sitting in front of a book. I go back to the military analogy, okay? You don't prepare. They don't sit there and go, now, soldiers, if you see on the screen here, when someone throws a right hook at you, now observe what we do. Step one. No, you get in the ring and you actually learn these things by doing them. You get clocked a few times and you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that again. And then it happens again and again until you start dodging and you start moving. This is what faith is about. It's in the ring. On a daily basis, God is training you skillfully to live for him. Oh, come on, hear me. The point is simply that readiness, whatever form it takes, is not something that can be achieved at the last minute. It depends on long-term provision, and that has been made, the wise disciple can sleep secure in the knowledge that everything is ready. Just a little teaser, like we're starting this series. Apostolic team's going to really share and be involved in this. But this whole idea of an intro to this series called Burning Man. And what we're talking about is, you know, God's whole intent was that he formed us in his image, right? We read that in Genesis. And we are formed in his image so that we could operate as individuals, as the body of Christ, fused together. Because that's, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are one. You are one, Jesus said, as I am one with the Father. This whole idea of the image of God is not individualistic. And so we're going to get into the three dimensions of burning. Three dimensions of living for Christ. This is, and like, you know, when I see Haley, I see a 3D person right here. She might even be four. There might be a spiritual dimension there. But, you know, like when I see her, I don't see an XYZ axis and say, oh, yeah, I like that X part. Oh, I see that. And, you know, like in math, if you've done that kind of thing, that's how I think, right? But X is, you know, this way. No, X is this way. X is this way. But look at it as one-dimensional. You've seen one-dimensional things, right? It's called a line. And then you add the Y, and what do you get? You can get, like, curves and things like this. It's, like, two-dimensional. Three-dimensional is you get this curves that could come out at you on a Z. And this is, many Christians are one-dimensional Christians. They're just individualistic. Everything is about them, their faith with God, which is an important part of a three-dimensional faith. But when it's only about you, you're missing the other two portions. You're missing community life, where the individuals fuse together with the body and the body becomes an expression. That's two-dimensional. Then there's this aspect where the Holy Spirit engages the body of Christ to become a witness of the manifold wisdom of God to all creation. It's this creation thing where the heavens declare the glory of God. All creation declares the glory of God, that no one is with an excuse not to say, I didn't know. No, you see, you behold, you know God is alive. He is moving. He is good. And so what we want to do, and I say we because I am excited about this for a chance to allow God to refresh me and to revisit the things in my individual life, revisit the things of how I relate to the body, revisit the things of what he has planned for me in the body for the cosmic witness of the gospel. And so I want to look at this, like, how do we burn three-dimensionally? We can't be one-dimensional Christians. We need to be a full burning man. Is part of a burning church that witnesses and testifies to all creation. And so this is what we're going to go into. We're going to go into a time where we prepare our hearts, but it is not an individualistic time where you go home and it's all about you just getting right with the Lord. That is how it starts. But if you never really find the Lord's plan, if you never join your hearts together and allow him to fuse you together in a collaborative expression of his body, we're stunted. We never make it to two dimensions. And until our church finds its place in the network of churches, the expression of the whole church, and we fuse ourselves, press ourselves into the cosmic purpose of God, we're stunted. We're limited. And this is like, what's on my heart for the new year, there's so much prophetic confirmation in these things that, you know, God wants to do this incredible work in us. So I want to just challenge you to open your hearts to God. Open your hearts to God and press in with us in this next season. Press in and ask the Lord to prepare your hearts. Commit to the discipline. Start giving him time in the word. Start praying, not as a task list. I love task lists. It's how I operate my whole life. The task list and the task list, task lists. And I just love lists. It's a joy of mine. If I ever have free time, the first thing I do is, I think I'll make a list. I'm serious. I just love it. Lists, even meaningless lists. All lists are meaningful. But it's a hard attitude of, Lord, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's get engaged. Do something fresh in my life. Rekindle my heart. Open my eyes. Let me see in a way I haven't seen. Sharpen those places that have been demonstrated as weak spots, because the capacity in my life is turned up. Come on, let's just respond to God. Come on. I know he starts stirring your heart. I know it, because he did mine. Lord, I thank you. I thank you in this place for great courage. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't set our sights on success or failure, but we'd set our sights on the journey with you, that we would just say, Lord, let's do this. Take me where you want to lead me. I allow you to be unpredictable. I prepare my heart that I have the freedom to be spontaneous. My affairs are in order. My house is prepared. My heart is prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready for what you might do in this historic, epic hour. Lord, I pray for faith to just stir up right now in hearts all across this room. I pray you speak hope. I pray you speak destiny right now, stirring expectancy in the air. Stirring hearts, Lord. I just thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the future. I thank you for what great things, great exploits, miracles, as the church arises and begins to release heaven. Thank you for the souls that are coming. Oh, the souls that are going to just be weeping because they're free from darkness, free from oppression, free from deception. I thank you for this glorious hour that's coming, Lord. Lord, make us ready now. We open our hearts. Prepare us, Lord.